May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, growing up, my only pets were gerbils. And I liked my gerbils. We raised gerbils and gave them away to all the people. My father was a middle school teacher, and so everybody in the school system got gerbils from my father's, you know, farm, I guess. And gerbils are very nice. But gerbils are not cuddly. And they are not good pets for taking out for a walk. So I did not know about what happens when you walk dogs until I actually acquired one because my daughter, at age 8, wanted something cuddlier than a gerbil. And I gave it. Because, you know, that's what we moms do, right? I don't want a dog, I said. I don't want a dog, I said. I don't want a dog. Fine, we're getting a dog. So I got a dog. I got Emma, my lovely little beagle mutt, who is as friendly and gentle and is completely uninterested in exercise as any animal you could ever ask for. But she does love to sniff things. And I, because you knew this was going to happen, right? I became the one who walked her. Exactly. So I began walking the dog daily, since I understand that it's important for animals to have exercise, yada, yada, yada. I thought at first that meant I would get some exercise, but if you've ever walked a beetle, you know your pace is like this. Neighbors, beagles are awesome because you've got plenty of time to chat with your neighbors while the beagle sniffs around the end of the driveway to see who else has been by lately. Beagles, it turns out, are fabulous for meeting all of the kids at the bus stop. Because if you walk my dog in the morning when all the kids are waiting at the bus stop, we have to stop and talk to, or sniff anyway, is on the street at that hour and lick their hands because there's a possibility they had something sticky for breakfast. It turns out beagles are great for getting to know everybody else in the neighborhood who has a dog. Because when my dog is out and you walk past my yard, Emma sits at the gate and says, "Hi, how are you? Would you like to come over and talk to me too?" And she sniffs noses with every single dog that comes by, very happily, very cheerfully. That I never would have stopped to talk with before. It's a great way to exchange the news with people who at best I had spent time going as I drove through my neighborhood on my way to somewhere else. Because when I walk Emma, I've got plenty of time. I have a neighbor who actually puts a dog biscuit out on his doorstep just in case Emma comes by for a snack. I now know where I will go if she ever gets out of the yard without me. I know his name now, Bob Gordon. I never knew his name was Bob Gordon. Now I know his name, and I know he just retired, and I know he likes to ride his bike at 3 a.m. because there's no traffic. Because as long as Emma's gonna take a few minutes finishing her biscuit, we might as well exchange the news of the day. You know, I think it's possible that God sent Emma to me because Emma knows something about how to form community. Emma knows something about how you have to not rush through things. You've got to check in and get the news. And that it's really important to know which of your neighbors have sticky fingers from having a donut that morning. Well, maybe that last part God doesn't care about. But Emma knows that these are the small things that tie us together. These conversations, these opportunities to meet one another at a time and a place in a world
We were all so very busy.
St. Francis has come to be known in our culture for his love of animals and of the natural world. There are stories about him preaching to the birds. There are stories about his taming wolves. But the stories that of St. Francis that I am noticing most this week and right now are the stories about how St. Francis saw himself as connected to people that most of us walk right on by. Certainly, most of the people in his time walked right on by. One of the definitive experiences of his life was early on when he was still a wealthy heir to a cloth merchant, when his life was filled with good things, including armor and a powerful horse and the hope of a military career. St. Francis was traveling between villages, and he came to a place on the road where a leper was off on the road. And he told the story, he said he had a terror of lepers. People did in that day and age because it was a disfiguring disease and it was contagious, and it was terrifying that if you came into contact with these people, you too could suffer from this terrible disfiguring illness, one that caused you to be outcast from the whole community. So St. Francis wasn't alone in seeing a leper and immediately going to spur his horse to get away from the leper just as fast as he possibly could. But an odd thing happened on this day. As he went to spur the horse away and he saw the leper out of the corner of his eye, his peripheral vision, all of a sudden he thought he saw Jesus. All of a sudden he turned his head and there in front of him in the leper's body and the leper's clothing was Jesus Christ. And it went to Francis's heart like an arrow straight through it. And Francis stopped and got down off of his horse and kissed the leper's hand and put him on his horse, and they traveled together to the leper's destination. It was a connection with someone that would change Francis's whole life. He became convinced that what God was calling him to was to live and work among the poor, among the people that Jesus had loved and was most concerned with, the poor and the sick. And Francis became convinced that he couldn't do this from the back of a charger wearing shiny armor, that he had, in fact, to come and live just as they lived, that if anyone had less than he, that he should, in fact, give what he had away. This was a way of living that had such an impact on others that pretty soon other people were coming to live this life too. At one point, he had 3,000 monks all living the same kind of life, all seeking to work among the poor. A young woman named Claire came and said, "I want to be one of your monks." He said, but my monks are men." She said, "That's okay. I will found a community for women. We'll do this with you." Those became the poor Clares. And Claire of Assisi is also a saint. All this because Francis made a connection with somebody that he normally would not have stopped to have a conversation with. He might not have needed a vision of Jesus if he'd had a dog. But what he saw, what he understood, is that the calling of God for all of us is to connect with one another, to take the time to be with one another, not just to drive by and wave, but to spend some time getting to know one another, to spend time knowing what's important and what has happened, and that somebody likes to ride their bicycle at 3 a.m. because there isn't any traffic on the road.
As I've been reading the newspaper this week, I have been reading about the epidemic of loneliness that is besetting us in this country. Of how many people live lives isolated from their neighbors, isolated from all but one or two other people. How many people don't have anyone to have a deep, profound conversation with, or even a conversation about whether or not it's going to rain this afternoon, and whether that will make the grass grow, or put out the wildfires, or whatever it is that we are concerned about in our local neighborhood. Indeed, part of the challenge of our divisions in this country is that we don't stand around at the end of the driveway long enough to discover that somebody has a new grandchild. We just jump right to whether they voted Republican or Democrat. And St. Francis knew that those connections are what being the body of Christ is all about. That what we are called to is being one, not because we are all alike. On that day when Francis kissed the leper's hand, he and the leper might as well have come from different planets for all they had in common. But because we are joined together in Christ, we are indeed one people, no matter what our differences. God calls us to learn that about one another. It's one of the things the church is most suited to doing. Or you could go and get a dog if you haven't already. I understand cats are not nearly as good at this as dogs. I haven't tried one. But this day when we all come together to celebrate our pets, to celebrate our love of our cats and our dogs and our frogs. We have a frog we're going to bless today. I'm so excited. He's so cute as this bee. It's a day to remember that it is, in fact, our love that unites us. Our love, which perhaps finds its easiest expression in our pets, but which our pets can remind us also needs to find the fullest of its expression in our love for one another, no matter what separates us. So my wish and my hope for all of you is that you enjoy each other's pets today, and that you will go out and find and meet your neighbors and enjoy their pets too. If the rain doesn't cooperate and let you take a walk, at least post some cat videos on Facebook. Because I am convinced that when God invites us into meeting our neighbors and remembering that what we have in common, that is in fact God's will for the world. Amen.